God says, anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. One should not desire to become like Yashoda, because that is Mayavada. But we must, either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. All right, if you wish to read along with the speaker,
page
65 in the Indian edition, page 88 in the Indian Classics edition. It starts in the middle of the paragraph. First, to help locate it, it's like on the second page of the chapter, and the paragraph begins, in the meantime, Mother Yashoda returned to the churning place after setting the overflowing milk pan in order. I'm saying that's the beginning of the paragraph to help you locate it, but the actual sentence within the paragraph is, after seeing her son so engaged. That's where he's going to start reading. Now, that's a little bit in the middle of things too. So briefly I'll tell it. First we get this picture of Mother Yashoda, which we're asked to meditate on, churning the butter. And Krishna comes suddenly into the room and looks upon her and indicates to her, as Prabhupada says, that her first business is to let him suck her breasts and not to churn milk. So in their nice affectionate relationship, she sees that and smiles and takes him up and allows him to suck her breast. But then suddenly the milk on the stove begins to boil. So she abruptly puts Krishna down, and he becomes angry at this. And while she's doing that, he takes a piece of stone, breaks the butter pot, and takes the butter out, and with false tears in his eyes, he goes to eat the butter in a secluded place. Then she comes back and sees the broken pot, and smiles and says, the child is very clever. After breaking the pot, he has left this place, fearing punishment. So she looks for him and finally finds him on a wooden grinding mortar, upside down, and he's sitting on it, taking butter, hanging from the ceiling on a swing, and feeding it to the monkeys. He's looking around in fear that she may come and see him. Okay, read.
After seeing her son so engaged, she very silently approached him from behind. Krishna, however, quickly saw her coming at him with a stick in her hand, and immediately he got down from the grinding mortar and began to flee in fear. Mother Yashoda chased him to all corners, trying to capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was never approached even by the meditations of great yogis. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is never caught by the yogis and speculators, was playing, just like a little child, for a great devotee like Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, however, could not easily catch the fast-running child because of her thin waist and heavy body. Still, she tried to follow him as fast as possible. Her hair loosened, and the flower in her hair fell to the ground. Although she was tired, she somehow reached her naughty child and captured him. When he was caught, Krishna was almost on the point of crying. He smeared his hands over his eyes, which were anointed with black eye cosmetics. The child saw his mother's face while she stood over him, and his eyes became restless from fear. Mother Yashoda could understand that Krishna was unnecessarily afraid, and for his benefit, she wanted to allay his fears. Being the topmost well-wisher of her child, Mother Yashoda began to think, if the child is too fearful of me, I don't know what will happen to him. Mother Yashoda then threw away her stick. In order to punish him, she thought to bind his hands with some ropes. She did not know it, but it was actually impossible for her to bind the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Yashoda was thinking that Krishna was her tiny child. She did not know that the child had no limitation. There is no inside or outside of him, nor beginning or end. He is unlimited and all-pervading. Indeed, he is himself the whole cosmic manifestation. Still, Mother Yashoda was thinking of Krishna as her child. Although he is beyond the reach of all senses, she endeavored to bind him up to a wooden grinding mortar. But when she tried to bind him, she found that the rope she was using was too short, by 2 inches. She gathered more ropes from the house and added to it, but at the end she found the same shortage. In this way she connected all the ropes available at home, but when the final knot was added, she saw that it was still 2 inches too short. Mother Yashoda was smiling, but she was astonished. How was it happening? In attempting to bind her son, she became tired. She was perspiring, and the garland on her head fell down. Then Lord Krishna appreciated the hard labor of his mother, and being compassionate upon her, he agreed to be bound up by the ropes.
That's it. I was appreciating the stithi, the word stithi came into my mind, or stithily, how Mother Yashoda was coming upon him stithily while he was looking for her. I could just sense her trying to sneak up. And then I felt the closeness of mother and son, that that's what this is about. They're together all the day long, but not like ordinary mother who may get tired of her child. There's always ecstasies of one kind or another, but they're very close, mother and son, and so no one can know how close they are. So I felt that, and then I felt that when she started running after him, that she's really into this. The Sukadeva, he starts explaining it philosophically, but unlike the previous scene where mother sort of was temporarily thrown out of her living her relationship with Krishna, she's not philosophizing like that, that he's the absolute truth and yogis can't catch him. She's just a mother and going after him completely in pursuit of him and not thinking philosophically. It struck me, this is inconceivable and I can't really enter it, but I just be patient and hear what I can. Then I realized that I'm a student as I hear this passage. I'm a student of Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. It's like a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture where the philosophical lesson is being mixed in with the narration. Sometimes you get a lot more just pastime. There's a lot of philosophy coming across, and then in between comes the nectar pastime. So I just situated myself as you would in a class or hearing from Prabhupada and trying to understand that God is very great and hearing the lesson. And feeling my limitations, yet I thought, still, one of these times if I go on hearing, just one of these lines could open up to me and I could really appreciate Krishna a lot more. And I was listening, at least with faith. So, that's some impressions. What if some of you would like to speak, or I'll have to call on you if you don't. Yes?
I'm sure you have the same experience as I was reading. Long and disciplined, I was trying to figure what was going on with Mother Yashoda's endeavors and Krishna playing around with that with his mother. And all of a sudden, from the description about the qualities of God with him, I realized, wait a minute, there's a third person in the story. That's Prabhupada, Shukadeva Goswami. It's not like you said, Mother Yashoda is realizing things. There's somebody with a speaker
yeah.
who's commenting on an action.
Yeah.
And this is something to learn.
Yeah. And once you get used to it, and we're all used to it by now, this is not it's like an abrupt breaking of the scene. If you were watching a Hollywood type movie, you wouldn't maybe want that, suddenly somebody narrating what's happening. But we're either there in Krishna's pastime, and if you could see it visually, although then suddenly it's not Krishna, but you see Sukadeva talking to Pariksit. But that's fine with us, because it's all Krishna Katha. It's not like breaking the mood, and then we're back into Krishna again. So that's happening here, and it happens repeatedly. But usually it happens like maybe at the end of a chapter or something. That's a nice way to put it. There's another person there, and we just relish one scene or another. Krishna in Vrindavan or Sukadeva to Pariksit.
Great. Then there's another very important aspect of the story. The Sukadeva Goswami gets very much into details as far as features and the way Mother Yashoda looks and the flowers falling and Krishna's eyes and his neighbor and his eyes. What really helps us to get deeper into what's happening there.
Like yeah.
A child who's been caught in his feet or even in material world experiences, he looks everywhere.
Yeah.
Shelter something.
Yeah.
Krishna
is there. Yeah, the details of the tears smearing the cosmetic is really that's getting into nice detail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chasing Krishna with sticks.
Yeah.
Second, like not with the sticks for the animal. Just chasing Krishna with sticks.
Yeah. Krishna not fooling around, and later Queen Kunti said, "This bewilders me. This scene." The very scene we're describing. Ramchandra.
Just when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, it looks like he's also seeing the whole pastime simultaneously. But he gives such detail.
Yeah.
You hear somebody, then, well, yeah. I don't remember all that.
Yeah.
Details, but I don't know.
There's a nice hint about that in the third canto where the whole Vrindavan pastimes is told briefly. Oh, it was Uddhava. But Sukadeva is the same thing. He starts talking about Krishna, all of a sudden he says he goes deep within himself and loses his present consciousness, and then with great difficulty he begins to speak so he can understand that they actually are entering into the past, the eternal pastimes which are going on. And they can tell us.
So then Mother Yashoda is going through all these emotions with Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about it, so he's also going through some emotions.
Yeah.
It's not like they're
speaking out. Oh, no, yeah. He's doing both. And we're meant to go, we can go through it also. So, we've used up our time. Now we have 2 days off, so you can write those homework assignments. And you can read the next chapter. Oh, wait a minute. Is the next chapter, or do we, the deliverance of Nalaka Veeramani, what is the next chapter?
Well,
yeah, we skip a little. The killing of Agasura is next. Finish this chapter and then go to Agasura. Thank you very much.